You're going to see an arc to this conversation tonight, and David introduced us to the arc earlier today when he talked about how one of the things Family Life really wants to do is we want to help meet people by the well at which they're standing, and we want to try to take them from where they are, and sometimes that's in isolation. We want to lead them towards oneness in their relationship, and then we'd love to send them out, have them move to impact. And so just listen to this narrative, because that's exactly what's happened with this couple. So life throws you guys a couple of curves, and you find yourself single parents.
Yes.
Kids. How many kids you got, Mason?
I have three boys.
I mean, Thomas, excuse me.
You're fine.
Three boys.
I have three boys, 20, 16, and 12.
Okay. And how old were they when you were single dad?
Oh, man. So that would be 16, 12,
okay.
9.
Yeah, sorry to make you do the math there. How about you?
Thanks, Ron.
Yeah, I said, yeah.
So I have two children. I have a daughter. She's 21 right now, and then my son is 14.
Okay, and so single parent phase?
Single parent phase. Danny was 14 when I mm-hmm. became single, mm-hmm. and DJ was 6.
Okay. And so life kind of hits you, throws you that curve, and you find yourself navigating those waters. And somewhere in there, you guys met. Like, take us to that point in time. How did you find one another?
Well, I have to do 1 minute version, so here we go. The movie War Room, we met at church. The thing is our church was very small. It was an introduction church, so it was very small. I worked on production. She worked in the greeting ministry. And for about a year, mm-hmm. we never saw each other. Hmm. It was only 60 people in church at the time. We never saw each other. But our kids were in Sunday school class together. So the two youngest of her son and my son, and then the two oldest of her daughter and my son, were Sunday school classmates, so they knew each other well. And when the movie War Room came out, she's a big movie buff, so she had went to see it 3 times the week it came out.
Okay.
And she actually saw it once here, and then I think once in Texas. She had a trip in Texas, so in that time frame, we're standing. They put her up on the screen. It's like, Ebony's seen the movie 3 times, and I was like, well, I haven't seen it. I said, would you like to go with me? And that's where we took off.
And at some point, the kids started picking up like there was something going on.
Yes. So my daughter comes to me one day and she says, Mom, you know that church man that you talk to? His son told me that when his dad is talking to you on the telephone, he's smiling and, you know, laid out on the bed. And he told me that, I think, you know, Terrell, his oldest, tells my daughter, Danny, I think my dad has a thing for your mom. And so when Danny shared that with me, I said, I do not want you guys starting rumors at the church. We're just friends. I mean, you know, we just go to church together. And she's like, I think that church man has a thing for you. And so when we're at church, because that's the only time we would see each other was at church. And so when I went up to him at church, I said, you know, the kids are talking about us. You know, they're saying that, hey, you know, that there's something there. And I just want to be clear with you because, you know, I'm dating Jesus, right? and you know, I go out and I meet other people, but, you know, like, where's your head at? And he responds to me and says, you know, when God has his hands in it, I don't worry about it. And so that made me think. And I was like, wow, okay.
That was a very strategic answer, man. Yeah. That was good.
And, but, you know, as Thomas said, after the movie War Room, we stood outside talking in the parking lot for over 5 hours. And I love wearing heels, but that night I did not even realize that I had them on. And leaving there, I remember saying there was something special about that man. Mm. And so our only time together would be just at church. When pastor would start praying or something like that, he'd just come over and he'd just hold my hand and we would just pray together. Mm. And the rest is history.
The rest is history. And you guys eventually did marry. And I think we have a picture of the clan, if we could throw that up on the, there you go. Right? There's a bunch of them. We'll come back to the t-shirts, but you might notice the t-shirts say Blendistry. We'll tell you what that is in just a minute. But you guys got married, and like a lot of couples, and also like a lot of blended family couples, the dream that you had as you were falling in love and beginning to think about building a future together met reality.
Yes.
What was reality?
Wow.
Night before the wedding.
The night before the wedding, where I tried to hide her from my ex-wife because I knew what could possibly happen. Mm-hmm. So the night before our wedding, she actually tried to plan a birthday for my middle son the day of the wedding.
So your former wife tried to plan a birthday?
Yes.
For your son the day of the wedding?
Correct.
Whose birthday was three weeks
prior.
Prior to the wedding day.
So, in other words, it probably had nothing to do with the wedding.
Yeah. Right. So that was the first step to a ball that just rolled out of control.
Yeah.
She had wrote everything down, but started from that. Then my oldest son became rebellious, so me and him we fell out, so I had to kick him out the house. He went and stayed with his mom.
That's hard.
So it was just one thing after another. Then that was November, then Christmas. The day after Christmas, we received papers that she wanted to file for full custody of the kids. Mm-hmm. And it just kept rolling. So it was very tough on her. And, I just realized that I knew I was just going to have to try to stay as strong as I possibly could. And just told her, just let's just ride the wave. Let's just ride the wave. And, the hardest thing for her was she wanted to protect me. So, when I asked her, I was like, hey, we need to pray for her that she will heal and get over this.
Earlier today when I was talking and we just showed that example on the screen of a family and how they come together, and there's just a lot of moving parts to the family. It's a complex story. And oftentimes people you didn't realize you were marrying immediately become stress points for your marriage and for your family that you're trying to manage. So when that reality began to hit, Ebony, for you, like, where did your heart go? What were you experiencing? The dream was not being fulfilled.
So for me, I had different expectations because my ex-husband and I, we have a great co-parenting relationship. So I really felt like, oh, okay, we could do this. I was brought up in a blended family. I mean, it's normal to us how we... how it just flows. And I thought that would transition into my relationship with Thomas. And so the first year was very, very hectic. I mean, there were tons of evenings where I was like questioning, like, oh, okay, why is this not happening the way I thought it was gonna happen? And so I started doing research because I said, well, we can't be the only family that's going through these issues. And so it just so happened that a coworker of mine and I were talking one day, and we were sharing some personal stories with each other. And she was like, there are churches that, have blended family ministries. And I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah, I mean, just do some research out there. And so I did some research. And
I think you hopped online. Is that what you told me?
Yes, I went online.
Blended family conference?
Conferences, yes. Oh, blended family conferences. And Blended and Blessed came up. And I was like, wow, okay, let me click on that. So I clicked on it. And when I clicked on it, it was going to be about 3 weeks out. This conference was going to take place. And so I called my husband. I said, babe, there is a conference for blended families. And he's like, let's go. I'm like, okay, well, it's in North Carolina. You're going to have to take off from work. And so he was like, we're going. And so I was talking to my coworker. I'm like, I'm registered, for this conference. It was only $49, and it's for the day. And so she was like, that is so awesome. So we started talking about the speakers that were listed there. And so she tells me, you know, I have a best friend who has a blended family ministry.
Okay, hold on just for a second. I got to ask you guys a question. Who in here, if you don't know, somebody Google it on your phone, how many people live in the Atlanta metropolitan area? Okay, does anybody know? 5 million, something like that? Okay, so they live in Atlanta, Blended and Blessed that year. That's our live stream event that goes over the internet, but it was in Charlotte, and that was close enough, so they're going to drive to Charlotte and be in part of the live audience. But here we're now we pick up, back in Atlanta, talking with this coworker who's encouraged her to start looking for information. Now listen to this.
And so we start talking, and I say, gosh, you know, the list, because my coworker says, well, you know, who are the speakers? So I start reading their bios, and I'm like, oh, there's a couple in Lawrenceville, Georgia that, you know, they are going to be speaking at this conference. And she says, oh, my friend lives in Lawrenceville, Georgia, too. And so when I shared the name with her, she's like, oh, my goodness, that is my best friend that I was talking to you about.
5 million people in Atlanta.
And
she works with somebody who's up on our stage.
And she was brand new. She had just started there. Yes. She had only started working there 1 week.
Yes. She was just there 1 week.
Wow.
And she tells me, well, my girlfriend and I are going to have coffee in 2 days. Would you like to come and meet her? I said, absolutely. So what was supposed to be a 30-minute break ended up being an hour and a half. Mm. And we drove down to the Blended and Blessed Conference. We met Myrna and Stanley Brown, and we just instantly connected. But while we were there at that conference, we met other couples who we knew actually from other like marriage ministry retreats and conferences that we've been to that were also blended. And so
And
that
I met
just
you, and we had a really good time. And you guys left that event hearing about another thing we do called the Summit on Step Family Ministry.
Correct.
So, well, what happened next, Tom?
We hopped on that
because what they told us was, because we were so intrigued by all the information that was given out, we asked Stanley and Myrna, hey, what do you think? You know, we're really interested. How can we get? She's like, you have got to go. We've gone. And she said, we're going again this time, so we'll be there with you. And they walked us through the whole process of, you know, making sure that we were going to the right sessions. And they even suggested at one point that, you know, both of you don't need to be in the same session. You go get information at this one, you go get information at that one. So with everything, we tried to get in and soak up as much as we possibly could.
So let me just add a little commentary. This is 2018. They go to Blended and Blessed in the spring. In the fall, they come to Little Rock, where we were hosting that year, the Summit on Step Family Ministry. And that was in October, I believe. And then you go back home, and you decide, we're going to do something.
We're going to do something.
What'd you do?
We decided to start a blended family ministry.
Yeah, don't just sit on this stuff, folks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're still working on your oneness, but let's just help other people in the process. Within a year, they launch into their own ministry. Now you know that T-shirt, what it's all about, and they take it to their church, and you did something around the holidays.
Yes. So we realize in listening to, you know, Ron speak at a couple of the conferences that the holidays are always the toughest times for blended families because either, you know, kids are with one parent or the other parent or we didn't have them all together. And we started having, like, couples come to us like we were the experts because they thought that we had it figured out. And we're like, no, we're still going through the same struggles like everyone else. And they were like, well, you make it seem so easy. And so a lot of the questions would be, the holidays were always tough, or these families were sad and depressed. And I remember you saying at, I believe it was the summit, that we create the memories that we want for our families. And so we don't necessarily have to celebrate on the actual holiday, because kids are just gonna remember that they had a great time, right? And that was important to us. And so that's when we decided to launch Blendsgiving.
Mm-hmm. Blendsgiving. So here's a picture of their first event in their church, Blendsgiving, and that's the number of people that showed up at that event. That's just been over less than a year ago.
Less than a year, yes.
We're celebrating one year now.
And what I want us to do now is I want to keep hearing what else is going on and you guys are moving towards, and we're going to play some video from their ministry, from the different things that they've been doing. And you could just kind of, that'll be playing in the background, but you can see they've had a number of events where people come together, they're printing t-shirts, they have the Blendsgiving event, and it's really catching on in their congregation. And you noted before, at one point we were talking once, and you said, you know, it's interesting, how many people attend your church?
About 100 now.
And you said to me, like, you think a high percentage of...
Well, not I think, but I'm over membership ministry.
Oh.
So I know.
You've been doing data.
Yeah. So I know for a fact that in our congregation, 70% of the members are blended.
Wow. And the church had never done anything like this ever before, never really did marriage ministry even. So it's blossomed into that. So tell us what the plans are now. What do you guys got going?
Our church does have a very strong marriage ministry.
Okay.
But they don't have the ministry for just blended families. And so when Thomas and I would go to the events, we loved them, but we always felt like there was a missing component. And so that's where Blendistry was formed. And so Blendistry means blending families through ministry. And so family life has been a big part of that.
Got more plans this fall, Thomas?
So we just finished a Blendistry picnic.
Okay.
We did that last month. And then we're going to do Blendsgiving in November. Yeah. So once you get to the end of the video, you'll see our daughter. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with the TV show Blackish. Well, we're actually going to run Blendish at
wait, it gets better.
At our blended family at Blendsgiving.
At Blendsgiving. So last year when we did Blendsgiving, we asked the kids for feedback. And so the feedback that was given to us was, okay, you know, Blendsgiving was nice, but it's a whole bunch of like old people talking about stuff. So we charged them with, okay, well, what do you think we should do next year? So the kids were like, well, we should have a panel so that we can talk about what it's like growing up blended. And so the kids came up with a Blendish, growing up blended. So they are going to put the panel together.
The kids are putting on the event for the parents.
We just have to work on the communications. And, you know, we told the kids, well, we need to ask the parents permission, maybe give some questions in advance so that we can help, you know, prepare them.
Okay, and you told me you've got plans to do the Art of Parenting, and you know this is just going to keep rolling forward.
Right.
Let me just ask you to reflect on what is really the last year and a half. That's all that it's been. Can you sum up what this journey has meant for you guys, in terms of you personally, and also in terms of what you're seeing in other people's lives?
I guess we just kind of wrote down all the stuff that we've actually been through this year. In the last 2 years. So we took in a family who had lost their home, and they came and stayed with us for a year. Mm-hmm. We didn't charge them a dime. Mm-hmm. We told them, we said, hey, you know, we realize you guys are struggling. You know, just come stay with us, get your finances together. And one of them, he's actually one of our assistant pastors. Mm-hmm. So he came, they stayed with us, and they got their sales back together. So now they're doing good. My father had a bowel blockage, and my father's 88, so he kind of just wanted to. He was like, you know, God's ready for me. I'm like, no, he's not. Let's just have the surgery. So we took him in and took care of him for about 4 months. She's a breast cancer survivor. So, you know, that was a lot of that stress that was going on for that first year. It brought her cancer back. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we fought that and still fighting it. So we just had a lot going on.
And only three years in.
So, you know.
And you're still blending your family. You're still
blending,
bringing the kids.
Right.
You know, you're still dealing with the day in and day out of all of that.
And that's the video. That's it right
there. That's Danny.
That's Danielle.
But to answer your question, Ron, through it all, I think it has definitely brought us, you know, stronger and closer. And we're so intentional about why God brought us together, that I know that it doesn't feel like this is my second marriage. It feels like it's the first, because we're doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
And so, you know, the first time I got married, I mean, I didn't really, you know, do it the right way, but this feels right.
Yeah.
And I'm so, like, just thankful and that, you know, God chose us to just glorify him. Yeah. And I wouldn't want to do it with anybody else.
Wow. Thank you guys for being here with us. We appreciate it.